We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. There's been some scatterbutt out there that the Houston Astros have said that they didn't cheat. It's a little scatterbutt. That the Astros didn't cheat or didn't use the trash can banging scheme in the playoffs. Apparently some people feel this way about it. Some reporters out there, even though Carlos Correa said that they did it in the 2017 playoffs. Here was Robert Manfred asked yesterday about that very thing.
The Astros players have said that they were not using the trash can system at that time because you couldn't hear it. How were the Astros relaying signs during the postseason?
The garbage can signaling went on in the postseason. I mean, there was conflicting evidence on that point, but, you know, in an investigation, you often have conflicting evidence, and it was my view that the more credible evidence was that they continued to use the scheme in the postseason.
Can you tell us what that evidence was?
Yeah, it was statements from players.
Pretty obvious, right? Have we heard anything to say otherwise from the Houston Astros clubhouse?
I can't recall. I've heard so much damn audio over the last 4 or 5 days. I don't recall the specifics of if I've heard anybody say they weren't using. And look, Carlos Correa and a couple of his rants, I think, and I'm guilty of this. The only thing is English is my first language. I'm guilty of it. Is you know, you get to talk about 2017, 2018, nothing, 2019, nothing. And you sometimes you run a year together with nothing that you didn't intend to. And people get hung up on that particular one three-word phrase, and they can hammer you pretty good on it. So I don't know that I recall anything specifically. Somebody convincing me, trying to convince me that it didn't happen in 2017.
In the playoffs, in 2017.
In the playoffs, yeah. I do remember Carlos Correa being asked specifically about it, and he said, yeah, the garbage can was there.
I'm glad you brought that up. Here is Carlos Correa about that very question.
I remember going to Dodger Stadium, and we used multiple signs when we started the game over there. So when it came to our house, they used multiple signs as well. So there's no way to relay signs out there when you're using multiple signs. So when it comes to the playoffs, it's loud. It's people were using multiple signs going into a stadium because of rumors or whatever were going on at the time. So, you know, when I look back at the playoffs and I look at the games, it was not affected like in the regular season.
Were you still trying it in the playoffs, the trash can?
The trash can was there, yeah. I mean, if we had a chance, but like I said, I remember them coming using multiple signs, and it's impossible to decode all those signs.
JB, here's one thing which obviously he states the garbage can was there.
Over Twitter yesterday is that the Astros were denying the use of it in the playoffs in 2017.
Yeah, I think that's somebody getting hung up on one person's response to a question that could have been in a heated exchange and really getting hung up on that particular point and running with it. I don't think at any point in time anybody's tried to say that it didn't happen in the playoffs. I mean, here's the deal, man, is that I feel like through all the conversations and audio and hours on radio in Houston talking about this and talking to friends and family members and getting texts throughout the show of what about this and what about that, like I think, JB, that people think that the Astros were just from first pitch to the buzzer, no pun intended, first pitch to the end of the game was beaten on a garbage can, just randomly. Like we're going to beat on this thing because we think we got their pitches in the first inning. We're going to go beat on these things.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't, and this is a personal opinion. I don't have any reason. I've not read anything that states this specifically, but I lean heavily towards that the analytics, the spreadsheeting that goes on probably went on for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 innings. And then late in games, guys go, hey, man, we got to beat on these cats signals. and we're pretty sure what how they're getting to the pitch that they're throwing. Is it the second signal? Is it after the one? Is it the fourth signal? Is you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I think the
it'd be tougher later in games though because you start having more pitching changes and now you're changing up
well,
the variables.
I get that if the pitcher changes that could be difficult, but I just think that there's whether it's time or the fact the other team wasn't changing their signal for whatever reason in the my thought is if they were relaying when they were banging, they had a pretty damn good idea that they were right. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They weren't just going, man, well, we think we got this. Hey, y'all listen up. Don't at 95 mile an hour is coming at you, but we're gonna bang on this thing. We're just gonna think we got it. Like I think when they were signaling pitches, whether it was accurate or not it's really unknown. But I gotta believe that they felt pretty damn good about the fact that they had figured things out. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so whether it was in the playoffs or in the regular season, if a team came up that you laid out nicely the other day about the Blue Jays and this Bolsinger guy and the Blue Jays, the comments where the Blue Jays were actually on the list of teams that didn't change their signs and mix up their signs enough. I think, again, whether it's the guys that don't change them up or it's the guys that do, that affects when the Astros have a beat on what the hell's going on. And where I'm going with this is I got to have a feeling that in 2017, by the time the playoffs got deep into the playoffs, teams had a pretty good idea what the hell was going on, and they were making it awfully difficult on the Astros to steal signs at that point in time.
There was pretty good, evidence that teams were catching up to what the Astros
sure.
were doing. I mean, we saw it with our own eyes whenever A.J. Hinch had the meeting or had the Q&A, had the interview session
yes.
with Tom Verducci, and Tom Verducci played him the clip when Danny Farquhar of the Chicago White Sox heard the trash can banging. That's going to start some conversations. That was in 2017. I believe that was actually in the summer of 2017. So that was actually pre-memo before Robert Manfred sent out all the letter or sent out the memos to all the teams saying, hey, cut this out, stop doing all of this. And that to me probably spread around baseball. I went back and I watched a couple of innings. This has been on my cue list. I haven't been able to do it. Is I wanted to go back and watch the World Series.
Is it a cue list or is that to-do list? Same
yeah,
thing?
Yeah. It's like on your cue. Like it's on your.
Oh, Q. You know, how yeah. do you spell Q?
Q-U-E-U-E.
Okay. Damn it. You got me.
It's harder.
Ask me, I was seriously trying to learn right there, by the way. I was not being a smartass, I promise.
It's harder to spell than it is to say. But I've been meaning to watch the World Series. I went back and I watched, it was a game five that's considered like one of the greatest. Yeah, it's game five. And there were times whenever the Dodgers catcher, I can't remember who it was at the time, might have been Austin Barnes, where he was giving multiple signs with nobody on base. So that kind of gives me an idea that they were up, that they believed something.
Yeah.
I'm not excusing what the Astros did.
No.
But this is a conversation of, like, did this go on during the playoffs? I believe Carlos Correa here. Carlos Correa says, yes, the trash can was there. We were going to take advantage of the opportunities presented themselves. But at the time, it couldn't be done. They were relaying yeah. signs. They were complicating them over and over again. So, like, did it help them in the playoffs? Did it not? Who knows? And I don't even want to really have that conversation because I'm not trying to justify what the Astros did in 2017.
Right.
My problem is that everybody's talking about the Astros denying using it in 2017 when they're clearly not denying using it in 2017 when you talk about the playoffs.
Yeah, the guys that spoke that to me matter, and not matter is not the right word, but like that you could tell were genuine and sincere in their responses, in their apologies, in the way that they addressed the media, which was to me was George Springer and Correa, guys that you could tell were that way and gave you a little meat on the bone to talk about. I don't know that either one of those guys ever denied it.
Right.
Denied using it in 2017. And so, I think there became a point. What I've taken away from all the audio is that there came a point in 2017 when, whether it was the noise, you couldn't hear the bang, or it was the opponent was catching on to the Astros, it became significantly more difficult for the Astros to steal signs the later the season went on, which means as it got into the playoffs, teams were more than likely making it extremely difficult for the Astros to steal the signs. And so it gets closer and closer to being essentially ineffective, right? I mean, it just ultimately they were doing it in 2017, and people are out there saying or questioning the commissioner in a sense of like the Astros didn't admit that they cheated.
You know what's kind of crazy about this, too, is the timeline of it. Like, if the commissioner sent it out in September, in early September, I believe is when it happened, like September 7th. Like, there's not much baseball after September 7th. So we're giving a lot of blame to the Astros, and rightfully so, for like a month of the season, a month of 2017. Like, pre-memo was fine. Like, Robert Manfred has said he has two different time frames whenever he's issuing judgment. It's pre-memo, it was the Wild Wild West, post-memo, which was only a month left in the regular season, and then the playoffs, and then the Wall Street Journal article, and actually it was the commissioner's report, that said the Astros stopped doing it early in 2018. So we're talking about a month of baseball that the Houston Astros were doing this that they're getting punished for, which, again, rightfully so, not defending them, but sometimes people don't really put that together. Like, Giancarlo Stanton mentioned he would hit 80 home runs if he knew a pitch was coming. But, you know, it was legal until September. It wasn't against the rules until September whenever Robert Manfred sent out the memo. Again, a short span of baseball, which is kind of interesting to me that, like, what we're judging and basing our criteria on when we talk about the Houston Astros was probably about 25 to 30 games.
Wow. Now, that puts a little different spin on it for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that puts it into perspective.
Not that it justifies anything. Can I give you an idea of who the Astros should sign, by the way?
Yeah, let's go.
I'm all on board of the Astros signing Yasiel Puig. Still a free agent, hear me out.
Damn,
the
Astros, enforcer? You want an enforcer or what?
You kind of read my mind there. Yasiel Puig, I want the Astros to sign right now. He's still a free agent. The Astros have been interested in an outfielder, and a right-handed bat, because remember, the reports are that they offered a contract to Hunter Pence. He would then sign with the San Francisco Giants. You have Brantley, you have Yordan, you have Tucker, you have Reddick. I want the Astros to sign a right-handed bat, and okay. I also want an enforcer that will go to war for the Houston Astros. Remember Yasiel Puig? He gets in brawls left and right. He got in a brawl with the Cincinnati Reds after the Cincinnati Reds traded him earlier in the game. They were right. playing the Pirates. Yasiel Puig got traded like in the second or third inning. Puig got in a brawl like in the fourth or fifth inning. I want Yasiel Puig on this team as a right-handed bat and as you said it, as an enforcer.
I like it because of that reason. First and foremost, brother. There's no doubt about it that I believe that pitchers on the mound, for the most part, there's some badasses out there. There's some of them that ain't going to back down. There's some of them that got a little mess in their neck and will stand up to whatever they're up against. But I think that guys will think less about throwing at your hitters if they know there's a chance that Yasiel Puig is going to come over the fence of the dugout and meet you at the first baseline. I would think that would impact that situation immediately.
Yeah, give me Yasiel Puig on the Houston Astros
yes,
right now.
I'm in.
713-572-4610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham. Coming up next, we're going to go out to West Palm Beach, Florida. We're going to go to Astros spring training. We're going to have a conversation with our very own Adam Spolane, Sports Radio 610 reporter, thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union. I want to talk some baseball with Adam Spolane. We do it next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. We go out to West Palm Beach, Florida with our very own Adam Spolane, reporter for Sports Radio 610. Our conversation presented by Texas Bay Credit Union. Spolane, things calming down at all in West Palm Beach?
It was. They were today. The crowd inside the clubhouse has dwindled just a little bit. There was not a single question asked about scandal, about the fallout from the scandal, about anything that anyone had to say in Florida or in Arizona. So it was kind of nice. It was full baseball today.
Hey, anything from, and I may, excuse me if I asked you this already the last couple of days, as I'm sure it's running together for you, it's running together for me as well. You're on every show in the whole lineup, so 6A to 6P, Adam Spolane is doing work, so we appreciate it. But what, yesterday, Dusty Baker's first full team meeting, I guess, first time that he's been able to address the team as a whole. I mean, did anything come from that that you could pull from it? Do you recall hearing anything from that meeting specifically?
So that was Monday, and he wouldn't go into what he said. Nobody else was really asked about it. I just think it was more of a almost like a get to know you type session more than anything else. these guys were – a lot of these guys had never met Dusty Baker before they reported to spring training. It's just such an odd situation where you have a manager taking over essentially 2-3 weeks before the start of the season. And so I think everyone's just trying to play catch-up with each other. But there wasn't anything that I remember hearing that really stood out about that meeting and if anything significant happened in it.
Adam, what about the structure of spring training? I thought it was interesting that, I read this along the way somewhere that Dusty Baker, I mean, it truly is pretty much a plug and play with Brent Strom handling all the pitchers. And I think when we obviously know that in a game, Dusty's leaning heavily on him and the staff, but from a training camp perspective, the article I read laid it out like literally Dusty Baker is plug and play. It's pretty much identical to what AJ Hinch was doing, with the exception of maybe a fewer meetings along the way in the morning. But between Espada and Strom, I mean, those guys pretty much run spring training.
So the big difference, like you said, the big difference really has been that they have started later. And that's something that they had planned on doing anyways, whether or not AJ Hinch was still here, just because last year's season and really the last three seasons have run so long, and teams are starting to realize the importance of sleep and getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep. And so if you're starting your day at 6 a.m., like a lot of teams do during spring training, you're not getting the right amount of sleep. So that's a big reason why they have pushed things back. And also, you mentioned Joe Espada. Joe Espada is essentially running the schedule. So he puts together the schedule every single day, and that's no different than when A.J. Hinch was the manager. So Dusty Baker hasn't tried to rock the ship. The coaching staff is exactly the same from when A.J. Hinch was the manager, with the one addition being Chris Spier, who is the Astros quality control coach, and that's a guy that's been with Dusty Baker for a long time. But if you were here last year, if you were here the year before that, and you're here this year, spring training is almost exactly the same, minus just it's starting a little bit later.
Explain the aspect of that, Adam, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but I do want to hear you go into a little bit of depth of the fact that the Astros have had less off time, obviously, because they've made some deep runs into the playoffs and even to the World Series a couple of times over the last 3 years. The meetings getting moved back, the sleeping, and the fact that their off seasons have been a little bit shorter.
Well, when you look at it, a big league season is already really long. I mean, you're talking 162 games, and you're going from, you're starting in February, and most teams are ending at the end of September. They're going an extra month. So that's a month less that they have to recover. That's a month less that they have to get ready for the next season. It all kind of blends together. And plus, they're playing very emotional, high-charged games. So you need to take a bit of a step back. And so sleep becomes a big part of that. And I think that's the one area where you're starting to see teams, and this isn't just baseball, this is all sports and this is at all levels, where they're starting to understand that sleep is really valuable. I mean, it's one thing to eat right. It's one thing to get your work in. It's one thing to lift weights, but it's a whole other thing. Sleep is probably more important than all that. And I wonder, Clint, just as somebody who played at a high level, you probably would say the same thing. I'm curious just if maybe teams really pressed upon sleeping back then, how things would have been different for everyone 20 years ago.
Well, I think the battle back then 20 years ago was getting guys out of the bar. Like the whole, hey, you got to get a good night's sleep. That was code word for, hey, get your ass out of the bar, get away from the women and get in bed at a decent hour. I don't want you to smell like a six-pack of Coors Lights when you walk in. I think that was more the direction that we got. Nowadays, the way that nutrition is, man, and sleep is obviously a big part of the recovery aspect of things. I wish that's one thing that I wish I could play today, simply because the attention that's given to guys really taking care of their body. And we've heard guys obviously talk about sleep taking their game to the next level. If that's the truth, hell, I may still be able to be playing, brother, if I'd got a little bit of sleep along the way sometime.
And Clint, they don't call strength coaches anymore. A lot of times, they're called now. A lot of teams refer to them as physical performance coaches. So the whole nature of that part of sports has really changed. Really, in just the last 10 years, it's been quite the shift.
Hey man, I was when I was with the SEC Network, we went out to Kentucky and did a spring preview type of a show. We spent about 3 days on campus, highlighting the campuses and all that kind of stuff. And when we got to the portion of nutrition and what's available for their players, they've got this is Kentucky. There's no telling what the Astros have, right? They've got chefs that come in and literally cook their breakfast if they want. Now they can go if they obviously, if they need certain nutrition, this chef is there to keep them in line. But I'm talking about cooks. I mean, a smoothie bar. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous what goes into keeping these guys' bodies right. And you got to think that the Astros are on the cutting edge of that.
Yeah, no question about it.
Adam Spillane's our guest. Our conversation brought to you by Texas Bay Credit Union. He's out in spring training with the Astros at West Palm Beach, Florida. Adam, I think that the biggest spring training storyline outside of the sign-stealing scandal is who's going to win that number five job in the Astros rotation. Any news on that?
Dusty Baker was asked about it today, and he really didn't have a whole lot, just because he's still learning the guys that are on the staff at this point. It does seem like the top two in line in that competition would be Josh James and then Austin Pruitt, who the Astros acquired right before Jeff Luhnow was fired from Tampa Bay. You can throw Framber Valdez into the mix. And then Dusty Baker said today that there could be somebody from outside those three that jump in. Brent Strom said the other day that Brad Peacock in all likelihood would remain in the bullpen. I think they believe that he's more valuable there. So that's something to watch. And I don't think that we'll get a better grasp of that spot really for a couple of more weeks once you start getting games played and just seeing how things stand at that point.
Adam, what's on the schedule tomorrow, man? What I mean, are you able to, do you know, like if Verlander's going to throw a pin, do you know that that's happening today, or do you have to get up tomorrow and go? What's your day look like, man?
So we don't usually see that until you walk into the clubhouse in the morning to see who's actually going to throw. But, I mean, there's always some process of elimination that comes with that where, you know, today you know the guys that threw today aren't going to throw tomorrow. You know, sure. In all likelihood, the guys that threw 2 days ago, they probably won't throw tomorrow. So you kind of just go down the list and say, okay, well, this guy hasn't thrown, this guy hasn't thrown, this guy hasn't thrown. So there's a good chance that we could see him throw tomorrow. So I think one guy to possibly look for is Lance McCullers. I don't believe he has thrown a live BP the last couple of days, so it seems like he's in line. Same thing with Brad Peacock, same thing with Roberto Osuna. So those are possibilities. But I won't know that until the morning.
Got some heat on the schedule for tomorrow, Adam. I like it, baby.
How long are you out there?
I am here through the end of the week.
Okay.
So I leave. So the first spring training game is on, Saturday. So I leave right before that. Yeah, so I leave right before that.
Man, how do I get your job? I want to go hang out in Florida for about 10 or 12 days, man. That'd be nice, huh?
Hey, it's hot. It's hot, and there's some early morning. There's some long days. It's been to say the least, it's been crazy out here. There's been very much a circus feel between all the media, just from nationally, locally. You talk to players around camp, and they say that they've never seen anything like what this spring training has been so far.
You been able to do anything for fun?
I went, actually, yes. So the Delray Beach Tennis Tournament was an ATP tournament is being played over in Delray Beach. So I caught the night session of that last night. I've got some friends out in this area, so I went and visited them. So it's been quite the week, to say the very least.
Well, very good. You're doing a great job. Appreciate all the work you've been doing for SportsRadio610.com, on our Twitter at SportsRadio, and then, of course, hopping on every chance we can have you, Adam. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Adam Spillane out in West Palm Beach, Florida, for Sports Radio 610. Our conversations and our visit brought to you by Texas Bay Credit Union.
I love it, man. Feet on the ground out there. I like that. I wanted to ask him, ran out of time, but I wanted to ask him about, like, what does it look like when you say you walk in the clubhouse,
right,
and you see a schedule? Like, what, like, talk me through that. Tell me about that.
I've seen the schedules over with the Texans. Like, whenever you walk into the locker room, whenever, yeah, I was reporting with the Texans, and like they would just have all, like, on a TV screen like we have right there, they would just have their itinerary for the day.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, how cool is that? Like, Lance McCullers is going to throw a pin on field four, lane two. He's going to start at 8:30. If you want to check it out, feel free.
That's one thing on my bucket list I've never done. I've never been to spring training. I've been to spring training complexes, which, yeah, are unbelievable. Like, they have four fields, and they're all over the place, and they have, like, mini fields. It's pretty crazy. But I need to get out there to either the Grapefruit or the Cactus League at some point. I need to go to spring training.
Yeah, I got a bunch of buddies that have done it, and they thoroughly enjoy it. So it would be fun to go catch a game for sure.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Robert Manfred had some things to say about the Houston Astros yesterday as he went over to Arizona to the Cactus League, met with the media there. We'll get into some of that. Also, he defended the Astros rat. He defended Mike Fiers. What did he have to say about former Astro Mike Fiers, who got this whole thing rolling? We tell you next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader. Robert Manfred went from Florida to Arizona. He went coast to coast like Clint was a little bit earlier.
I'll take you to Palm Beach to Palm Springs, baby. Just give me about 30 seconds worth of airtime. I'll take you from one place to the other, one side of the country to the other, man. Come on.
The commissioner of baseball went from the Grapefruit League in Florida, went to the Cactus League in Arizona, met with the media, and, of course, he had some questions that were asked to him by the media that was out there in Arizona. The first things that I found fascinating and I've been very vocal about since the beginning of all of this is that Major League Baseball needs to make sure that this is not an issue going forward. And Robert Manfred addressed the question on how video could be changed in the future.
My own view is that we need to drastically restrict in-game access by playing personnel to video. It just has caused a lot of problems, and I think a really across-the-board restriction on that video will help send the kind of message to our fans that's really important for this institution right now, that we're serious about cleaning this up.
I'm all in.
Hey, there it is, out of the horse's mouth, right? I mean, it's ultimately all of this that's gone on over the last, golly, couple months is that's ultimately the result of all the facts being on the table, everything being transparent, is that the league is going to be proactive in eliminating teams stealing signs electronically and communicating them to the batter. I mean, to me, it's very difficult to really hammer in on these players for doing what they did. Given the fact, you and I have talked about it a million times, cameras in center field, piped action into the room right down the hallway from the manager, and then allow guys to spreadsheet it. I mean, not only is it there and you can look at it, but you got a guy in there legally spreadsheeting it, looking for tendencies. And so you literally, by the law, you're using the technology for one of the main reasons it's there. Compiling all this information, it's not a stretch that guys would take that and find a way to use it and communicate it,
no,
right?
No, absolutely
so,
not.
So the important part of this thing, here we talked about this earlier, JB, that the two things in this entire situation that blow my mind, like literally, like what the hell were we thinking was – the technology aspect of it, which Rob Manfred says right there, clearly they're reconsidering and they're going to change the way that they do things and not make it so convenient for what the Astros did to happen again. The technology involved blows my mind, and the lack of communication between the Jeff Luhnow essentially and the Astros players in the beginning and Major League Baseball Players Association and their players in terms of speaking out against the immunity, the lack of communication there is mind-blowing. It's arguably more – I mean, for me, it's almost more mind-blowing than the fact that they're piping live footage of the catcher's crotch into the closet down the hallway from the manager. I mean, all that stuff to me just goes, how? We're not talking about – we're not talking about the mom and pop little pie shop down the street, Chief. We're talking about a billion-dollar organization. We're talking about, I mean, to know what we know about baseball right now. And I know there's some guys that'll call and be like, oh, they've been doing it forever. They've been cheating forever, and they've been doing it. Look, man, I get it. But to know that things are going on and know that there were cameras and TVs and all that kind of crap, the public know that kind of stuff is crazy.
Yeah, I never understood how this would be a good idea. Like, okay,
yeah, exactly.
Major League Baseball teams, here's what we're going to do. We're going to supply you a live video feed from center field, and then you can use it however you want to use it.
Yes.
Like, I just don't get it. In Major League Baseball, it seems like they're always on this side of scandal. Like we talked about it earlier with the steroids. There was literally not a rule for performance-enhancing drugs in baseball. Major League Baseball embraced the steroid era. Why? Because it saved them from the strike of 1994. McGuire, Sosa, Bonds doing their thing. What did that do? It brought butts to the ballpark. It brought fans to the ballpark whenever baseball was desperate for fans. And then a few years later, they assigned the blame on a few select guys. Like, oh, you guys cheated the game. You ruined the integrity. Meanwhile, Major League Baseball is counting their money and really enjoying this rejuvenation of the sport that didn't exist before the steroid scandal. And this is a little bit more difficult to compare to the steroid scandal in the sense of dollars and cents.
Sure.
But it was also Major League Baseball saying, here's all this stuff. We're not going to put anything in place to police it. Then whenever you break the rules, we're going to signal out some individuals, and then we're going to clean it up going forward.
Yeah.
Like, to me, Major League Baseball has a huge problem. And this is something that I truly believe of being proactive. Like, you can even have this conversation about the rules of the game and pace of play. And you've heard Trevor Bauer be outspoken to the commissioner, Robert Manfred, about how, you know, baseball's not up with the times in terms of marketing and getting things out on social media. Like, Robert Manfred, commissioner of baseball, needs to figure out ways outside of the sign-stealing scandal to grow the game, make it a little bit more modern, make it more enjoyable for the fans. And that's something that I want to see going forward from Major League Baseball. Maybe this is the first step in that direction for baseball.
This is a spark that lights the fire as far as growing baseball. I mean, because look, again, I said it a month ago or however long ago it was that we first started talking about this on a daily basis. It's like it's – I mean, everybody wins in this scenario. I know everybody's dog cussing each other right now, and it's a back and forth. But I shouldn't say everybody because Jeff Luno and A.J. Hinch clearly didn't win. But the ultimately bro, I was scrolling. Check this out, JB.
Yeah,
I'm scrolling Astros gear last night for an hour on my phone. I saw it on Instagram. I'm not a big like if it's something really cool. Like I'm all about it. Like the running game stuff, it's cool. It's got like the, but if it's just like a polo with an Astros or a Cowboys or a Texans logo, I'm like, okay, what? I'm not gonna go shopping for it.
Yeah,
if somebody throws me one at a golf tournament, sure, I'll rock it. But I'm not gonna go shopping for it. It's not my deal, bro. I scrolled for every bit of 30 minutes. Truth be told, I said an hour. 30 minutes. I scrolled. I remember there was 18 pages of merchandise. I scrolled. I would never do that before, right? I would never do that. I'm sitting there to myself, and I'm thinking, I'm not the only one doing this. Like, I'm not the only one that's never scrolled Astros merchandise online that is now scrolling Astros merchandise online because of what we're talking about on a daily basis. I want an all-black Astros hat. I got an all-black Texans hat. I want an all-black Astros hat.
That's symbolic, too, since the Astros will be wearing the proverbial black hat this year in Major League Baseball.
That's right.
I like it.
I'm scrolling. Guess what? You can go get the fitted 5950 spring training hat with the different colored star and H. Get that one, too. And you can get them all. I'm scrolling Astros gear. I'm out there shopping. I mean, I give my lady hell all the time about it. I mean, can we just watch a TV show without you over there buying some shirt for the next time we go to dinner? Can we just watch a TV show, please, babe? I mean, and here I am doing it. I'm like, golly, you got to be cute. But the point is like everybody wins. They're going to sell more Astros merchandise in 2020 than they've sold ever in a season.
It's a rallying of the troops of the fan base.
They will sell more merchandise this season than they sold in 2017.
Oh, I totally believe that. I totally believe that. And ratings are going to go up. Like, TV ratings are going to go up. The gate's going to go up whenever the Astros are in town. The Astros have had really good attendance these last few years, so I don't want to be as bold to say that the Astros' attendance is suddenly
there's not a whole lot of room for improvement.
There's not, exactly, because they've been doing really well at the gate. But it's not going to dip. It's not going to dip at all.
No.
So it'll be fun to see how what happens going forward from this scandal. We started this segment talking about the technology in the game. It's something that Robert Manfred's going to look at and hopefully change. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. One of the figures that's been it's a polarizing name. It's the Rat. You've heard it mentioned too. Former Houston Astro Mike Fiers, who gave the information to the Athletic. The Athletic then, of course, doing their jobs, reported this, and then all of a sudden we get to where we are now, February 19th, where the wheels have fallen off the bus. Anyways, Robert Manfred is very vocal in his defense of One Mike Fires.
We will take every possible step to protect Mike Fires wherever he's playing, whether it's in Houston or somewhere else. I want to be really clear about this. Mike, who I do not know at all, did the industry a service. I do believe that we will be a better institution when we emerge at the end of this episode. And without a Mike Fires, we probably would have had a very difficult time cleaning this up. It would have taken longer. I think we would have done it eventually, but it would have taken a lot longer. And, you know, I have a real problem with anybody who suggests that Mike did anything other than the right thing.
713-572-4610. I'm torn on how I feel about Mike Fires. Like, I'm not going to go as far to say that, you know, he was a rat that threw his teammates under the bus. I get that thought. I totally understand. You know, snitches end up in ditches. I get it. And turning your back on your organization is something that usually is very much frowned upon in sports. Mike Fires didn't go straight to – Mike Fires told this to the Detroit Tigers at one point, and the Detroit Tigers reported this to Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball, for whatever reason, they didn't dive into this huge over-the-top investigation to figure out what we know now. Mike Fires then went to Oakland. The Oakland Athletics filed a report against the Houston Astros about what was going on. Major League Baseball did absolutely nothing. Then all of a sudden, Mike Fires says it, and then it's a huge investigation because now at this point, it has become public. Like, I don't think Mike Fires is a hero like Robert Manfred is making it seem to be, but I also don't think he's the rat that a lot of people are making it seem to be as well.
Man, I really struggle with the don't say a word, win a World Series, bounce around, all of a sudden decide 2 years later you want to pop off about what was going on. To me, and I understand he did it at multiple stops. I get that. But I don't know. It's not public how, to my knowledge, I'm not aware of all the details that you are as far as Detroit Tigers and the Athletics. But obviously, if it was able to be suppressed to some degree in both of those instances, then it could have very easily just been hey, guys, we might want to watch out for this. Or, hey, guys, we got to work a little harder because this is what they're doing. Whereas that's totally different than going to the Athletic and letting the cat out of the bag. I really struggle with when did he go to Detroit?
He went to Detroit that season. The Astros traded him to the Tigers in the 2018 season.
2018, yeah.
2018.
And so then he goes to the Athletics in 19.
He signed as a free agent with the Tigers in 2018, and then he was traded to the Athletics in 2018.
Okay, so it was a quick move. Okay, so yeah. So for me, I really struggle with while the getting's good, and why you've got a chance to win a World Series, ain't no problems with it. Let's just keep riding, and then you bounce around to two other places, and it's important to you enough at that point in time that you let the cat out of the bag. I don't think it's wrong. And I do believe, I again, salute you, Rob Manfred, great job. I do believe that that's the perfect stance for the league to take. I do believe he voiced it very, very well. And I don't think that Mike Fires was wrong. But when you talk about letting 2 years pass before you go to chirping, I got a problem with that. That's a bad, bad look. And I can't wrap my head around that individual that does that. To me, that's it.
I have a theory that the Athletics gave Mike Fires some pressure to go public with it because the Oakland Athletics were incredibly frustrated with what the Houston Astros were doing. They saw the writing on the wall. They were hearing the whispers. They were hearing the noise. And they knew what Mike Fires had told them before. They had filed their own report. Major League Baseball said, oh, this is nothing. So then I have a theory that the executives for the Oakland Athletics pressured Mike Fires into going public with it. So that's one theory. I have nothing to sustain that, but just my thought.
I just believe this, JB, and I'll be quick with it. I know you want to get to the lines. I just believe this, that dude's going to have a very hard time existing in a Major League Baseball clubhouse moving forward.
The A's have been okay with him. Bob Melvin, yeah, his manager, has been vocal in Fires' support, which is another piece of evidence to my theory, is that if, yeah, here's your manager supporting this rat, right, that maybe there's something else, yeah, that's going on behind it. And then Robert Manfred, is that soundbite we just played.
Yeah.
He says he's going to do everything in his power to protect Mike Fires.
I think he meant physically, like on the road from getting assaulted. But, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, let's go to Sean from the north side, 713-572-4610. What's up, Sean?
You know, I've been sitting back listening to you guys talk about this for the past 3-4 days, especially when it happened.
I'm born and raised
right here in Houston, Texas, on the northwest side. And, like, when is enough is enough to talk about this? I understand it's still fresh on some people's minds, but we have to move on to the new baseball season. You know, the new season is about to begin. It's a time for them guys to prove themselves and, you know, make things right by winning another World Series. I just want to understand, why do you guys continue to milk this? I don't get it. You're like, I listen to you guys every day. Why are we still milking it?
What do you want to talk about?
Well, if anything, we need to talk about Bill O'Brien not bringing back JD back, or, you know.
Wait. What did you just say? That was last year, man. You talking about Jadeveon Clowney? So you don't want us to talk about the Astros and the commissioner talking right now, but you want us to talk about Jadeveon Clowney a year and a half ago?
It'd make more sense to talk about something relevant than talking about this, you know.
Come on.
Call it what you will. If you're not cheating, you ain't trying. You talk about it all the time.
I'm with you, baby.
All the time. So it's like, what more do you need to discuss with it? It's dead. It's over with. The Astros got to prove it to us again that, you know, I still got mad respect for them. You know, I mean, far as the boss go, it started from somebody. Somebody started it, and now we got to finish it. That's what we got to get back to.
Hey, I'm with you, baby. I'm with you, but it's the gift that keeps on giving, man. Look, if you, and we greatly appreciate you listening, by the way. I ain't going back to no Jadeveon Clowney stuff, but here's the deal, man. Is if we didn't get on here every day and tell you about and break this commissioner talk down to you, then where else you gonna get it, baby?
Well, I mean, you the one got to draw the attention to the fans and let the fans know, hey, it's all right. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to rip this Band-Aid off. We're going to get back to work. The Astros are going to do what the Astros are going to do. If the whole thing for them, they've already been kicked down. I mean, how low do you want to kick them? They're already down. So you can't go nowhere but up.
I'm with you. Sean, I'm with you, baby. The Astros need to hire my man, Sean. I like it. Look, man, I mean, when it's the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, I'm open, Sean, if you want to hit that old text line a shot and get us a couple of topic ideas for tomorrow, we'll get off these Astros for you. Just shoot us a couple topic ideas, baby.
It's one of the biggest sports scandals in history of the sport, and it's rocked our very city, and it's new, and it's pressing every single
JB,
day.
JB, I
if
love
we don't
it.
Talk about it, they're going to change the station.
I love it. JB, when the callers are passionate about it, you know you're talking about the right thing.
The callers are hot right now, so that might be the 5 o'clock fire coming up soon. But also, I want to tell you about Tuesday. The Sports Radio 610 Best Bugs Tour gets started at Buffalo Run in Spring. Clint Sterner will be out there.
Yeah,
also, In the Loop will be out there. We'll be broadcasting from 10 to 6. You can get crawfish for $6.10 a pound. Crawfish, corn, potatoes, mushroom, sausage, drink specials, $1.50 a pint for Miller Lite, and Coors Light bottles for $2.50. It's the launching of the Sports Radio 610 Best Bugs Tour presented by Coors Light. And I know you're looking forward to this.
JB, what you better say that one more time
a little
bit louder.
I know you're looking forward to this.
You damn right I'm looking forward to it, baby. Cold beer and mud bugs, you kidding me?
Yeah.
Hey, look here. I'm going to eat at least 10 pounds every Friday for 7 straight Fridays. And that's a Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday. We're doing
Best Bugs. Yeah, you're right. It won't be straight because I'll do 10 pounds on Tuesday.
You eat 10 pounds?
Easy 10.
Man.
Easy 10. My lady can put them things back too now.
I love crawfish.
My lady can put them things back too now. In fact, it's awfully impressive. I love her more because of her love for crawfish and her ability to eat crawfish. And it's absolutely beautiful. So yeah, hell yeah, I'm locked and loaded, man. I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm excited. I talked to the boss man about this about a month ago, thinking that, man, it'd be a long shot if we could grow some legs, and this sucker has grown some legs, and we're gonna make it happen. And you know, look, here's the deal. You know, if 610 throws a party, we're gonna do it the right way, man. We're gonna give away, as you mentioned, we're gonna give away some Texans stuff. I think you mentioned that.
I didn't, but thanks
for having me
back.
Some Texans autograph.
You're no
stuff.
Mike Fires. You have
That's
my
right.
back.
That's right. So it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be wrapped around Texans football. Obviously, we're right here in Houston. We're in Texas, the football state. We'll have some of those goods for you, but most importantly, $6.10 per pound crawfish. We're gonna see who got the best in the business. We're gonna see who got the best in the city, baby.
Best seven crawfish joints over the next 7 weeks. Give us some feedback on social media. Use hashtag best bugs. I'm not sure this has ever been done before on the Clint Sterner show, but what the hell? I'm not here the rest of the week. 5 o'clock fire. You know who's bringing it hot? The callers. 713-572-4610. The callers with a 5 o'clock fire next on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.